Morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. By my estimation, we don't have a lot of crimes, big, you know, noteworthy crimes that have happened in the last week, which is always a good thing. But we do have a kind of a follow-up on a story that we talked about last week involving what you kind of said that there was this professional roaming band of thieves that had hit the, Family Dollar, is that right?
Yeah, and professional or not is just a guess on my part. We've seen this sort of thing in the past where the method of operation is similar on several burglaries at the same locations or the same brand of location. In this case, it was a Family Dollar. And they hit one on Cervantes Street. And usually when something like this happens, they're from out of town and they go on down the interstate to the next town. But it looks like we've had there was an arrest made of several individuals in the Tallahassee area for burglarizing another Family Dollar. Now, if it's connected to this one, we don't know that yet. We're investigating that. We're still looking at it. But if hopefully they are connected and we can put this one to rest.
So, you know, it's kind of weird as I'm thinking about this, how I'm just spitballing, but I'm imagining that the appeal to a criminal is that, well, you know, they're all very similar to each other. And so if you learn how to hit the one, you've acquired a kind of intelligence that is applicable to other locations. Is that, do you see that very often where the thieves will hit like similar store, similar brand because they're similar, you know, design or whatever?
I've seen it several times, but it's not often.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Well, I wouldn't think this level of I was just gonna say I wouldn't think this level of organization, despite what the movies tell you, is not all that common anyway.
Yeah, I mean the stores keeping cash inside it's getting more scarce. A lot of the transactions are done with credit cards and debit cards nowadays. So, you know, even convenience stores having the amount of cash in the registers that they used to have is just not there anymore.
Is the reduction in cash as a currency, as opposed to credit cards or a digital pay by your phone, whatever, has that led to a reduction in ordinary, you know, robberies of this sort or of any sort? Have you noticed? Is that a trend?
Again, this has got to be a guess on my part without looking it up to know for sure. But I can tell you that armed robberies at places like banks and convenience stores are just not where they used to be 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, gosh, isn't that bad news? That sounds like awesome news.
But listen, on the other hand, let me tell you what's up. And that's people getting conned or scammed online for much, much more money than that people would get in a robbery. That is way up because of computers.
Yeah, no, I from the stories I hear, that sounds exactly right. So that's a scary and, you know, sad alternative to it. Let's see. One of the questions that I had for you last week, anything else that's happened like overnight or over the last week that we haven't talked about?
No, we've got a lid on it right now, I'm proud to say.
All too eagerly watching the various interviews with the police chief candidates, I bet. I assume the department is just waiting to find out, right? DC told us yesterday that he's likely to make a decision next week. So, you know, let's just get this done with and over with and let's know who's going to replace Captain Brown or Chief Brown, right?
Yeah, I guess it's like we're a bunch of kids waiting up to see what we're getting for Christmas. We're just waiting on the delivery and the news to be made, and then we'll take it from there.
So do you leave, like, cookies and milk out for D.C. to come down the chimney with the announcements? I'll retract
the
question.
Well, you know, whatever.
Oh, it's a silly question.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Last week I had a chance to go look at the Sheriff's Office, the Real-Time Crime Center, and I knew what it was, but sometimes until you put your eyes on it, you don't really know what you know. And I was amazed at the level of information, the coordination, the volume of resources, the use of AI, all the different cameras. What is PPD's participation in this?
Well, we participate heavily. We have Julie, who works for us, that is at the Real Time Crime Center, does a fantastic job. I mean, it seems like she's there 24/7. Of course, she's not, but always there when we need her. And again, this is one of the biggest things that's ever happened to law enforcement in Escambia County is the formation of that center. And it's done a lot of good, and we just hope to see it even get bigger. And as technology advances, I'm sure it will.
You know, you've been doing law enforcement for more than 3 years. a little more than that.
Yeah, a little bit.
And so you have been around from, I mean, basically the dawn of the computer era when it came into law enforcement through today, and you've seen all the technology changes, you've seen what's happened. What's it like now to hear over the scanner, or not even the scanner, but over your radio, as you're hearing calls get handled, dispatch, instructions, information? You've got drones, you've got canines, you've got the real-time crime center, you've got license plate reading camera. You're seeing the practical, or hearing the practical effects of that. Help me understand what the difference is that that's making.
It's a huge difference from when I began back in 1987. We get a call over the radio, we respond to it. Hopefully there's some evidence there, there's some fingerprints there, and that's all. And maybe we had a witness and that's all we had. Now officers are seeing the calls pop on the screen before dispatch even gets it out, so they're already on the way there. We've got the technology to at crime scenes to help us solve the crimes better. We've got genetics now play a part in it, that we can solve crimes that are years and years old. So things have come such a long way. And, you know, I'm not going to be around to see it, but I'm excited to see what's in the very distant future in law enforcement, to see how much faster this can go. So it's come a long way, Andrew.
You know, one of the things that was mentioned is that the ShotSpotter technology, you know, lost its funding, and so that's going away. Although I guess it hasn't actually ended yet, was what I thought I took away from Lieutenant Beach's comments. But he and Andy Hobbs had made the comment that in the grand scheme of things that are available to us now, ShotSpotter wasn't nearly as crucial a tool as we once thought it was, and that a lot of law enforcement agencies are finding other more useful ways to solve crimes, especially shootings, and that the RTCC, the Real Time Crime Center, is able to do that even without ShotSpotter. Is that your assessment too?
Yeah, that's right. But ShotSpotter, just what it does is it gets the call out quicker.
Okay.
And sometimes it'll get the call, it'll make us aware of a shooting that otherwise we would not have been aware of. So it has its place. But like you just indicated, there are other ways that we're able to respond and to solve crimes besides just that. But again, it's a valuable tool in getting us headed that direction just a bit faster.
Mike, I don't know if you saw, it was a story from, I think, overnight from yesterday, that in Gainesville, there was an incident where apparently this guy goes into this store and murders somebody. That's at least what we think after the fact. But then police basically encounter him outside in the street in the middle of a busy intersection, only a couple of miles away from the, you know, the campus of Florida. And they get involved in a multiple, like, minutes long, 2 minute long shootout with this guy on the streets. I mean, people in neighboring businesses are, you know, laying on the floor hoping for dear life they don't get shot by a stray bullet. One of the car dealers in the area said he got 6 cars hit by random stray bullets. 2 cops were injured in the process. The guy was killed. I see a story like that, and I think, I don't know what to think, but it just sounds like crazy time to have something like that happening on the streets of America.
Yeah, you know, that's something that officers face every day. We don't know what we're getting into when we get there. And when you're dealing with somebody, and we've talked about this before, that's already made up their mind. They just don't care what happens to them. They don't care if they die. They just don't care about anything. And they will do anything to try and either hurt or kill as many people as possible before they die, or they'll do whatever it takes to not go to jail. So we have to, every single call we go on, we have to keep that in mind. That's why backups are sent. That's why officers sometimes are accused of being a little bit too heavy-handed when they first arrive on scene. But we just never know. So we have to be prepared for anything. And unfortunately, sometimes things like that happen. And good training is all I can say on that. We train all the time for scenarios like that. And just try to be careful as best that we can. But we're never going to have the upper hand when somebody else plans this thing ahead of time and knows exactly what they're going to do, and we simply don't.
Well, and of course, part of the problem in a situation like this is if you've got people in cars all around, it's not such an easy thing to just take out the bad guy. The bad guy is unfettered by any rules of engagement. They'll shoot at whatever, and they did. law enforcement have to think about who's behind that person, what might I do by accident if I miss, all of that kind of stuff, you know. And so that level of restraint out of concern for the public, because ultimately public safety is the goal. And, you know, it's balancing it just like you're balancing it with a car chase question. Is it more valuable to risk the public by chasing or by letting them go? I mean, these are hard things to decide on the moment, right?
Yeah, you've got to not only identify the person that is the target if you're going to fire your weapon, but you also immediately at the same time have to look at what's beyond that person in case you miss. And that's something that we have to think about in just a split second. There's a lot going on in an officer's mind before he or she pulls that trigger. And again, that's part of training. We have to take into account all of that before that trigger is pulled.
And we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, this is a did you know, and since we're talking about awaiting the news on the new police chief,
yeah.
I just wanted to let you know that I did a little research on this and on police chiefs, and the average length of a police chief's tenure is approximately 7.3 years. Now, one that comes from the outside, those chiefs generally have a shorter tenure, averaging around 2 to 4 years. And the longest chief of police, and this is a Florida chief of police, and this is according to the Guinness Book of World Records, was Millard Jordan, who served 51 years and 243 days from 1962 to 2014 in Lawtie, Florida, which is a bit southwest of Jacksonville.
What was the number of years? 50?
51 years Good and 243 Lord. Days. Sounds to me like he got, maybe he was 19 when he made chief. I don't know, but
man,
that's a long time. That's a long time.
That is an elderly sheriff or elderly police chief for sure. And you know, you mentioned that number is very stark. Seven in average. Was it three from insiders? Is that right? Or three from outsiders?
Yeah, two and a half.
Okay.
2.5 to 4 years from outsiders, and yeah, you know, there's challenges for them right off the bat.
What is the average? Do you have it broken out for what the average is from people who are hired from within? Because obviously they're the ones balancing the other out. So I would figure it'd be more in the like 10 to 12 vicinity.
Yeah, that was the first figure, which is 7.3.
Oh, okay. That is the figure for those hired from within. I thought it was everybody altogether. Okay, got it. Okay. Okay, but still, I mean, a 5-year difference based on inside and outside. That's surprising. Okay. Very good. Mike Wood,
look at our former chief, Goss, that served from 1980 to 1994 as chief of police. That's a long time, too.
Yeah. Excellent. Very good. Well, Mike Wood, he is our public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. Thanks for, teaching us the law, helping us understand situations, and keeping us safe. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.